the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Jack and Victoria team up on The Young and the Restless, Faison's will is read on General Hospital, Abby is revealed on Days of Our Lives, and it's a girl for Steffi and Liam on The Bold and the Beautiful. All this in casting news, so stay tuned. Welcome.
What's up?
Mike Jubinville, welcome.
Hello. How are you today?
I thought I was
on mute for a second. Sorry.
Okay. I wasn't sure quite what was going on here. It was a pretty interesting week in soaps this last week. A lot went on. There was some interesting casting news. One story that's sort of casting news. I mean, this has been a while back, but Robert Adamson is leaving The Young and the Restless. And this week we watched as Noah revealed to his family that he's going to end up going to work in Mumbai. Jillian. After having seen this character wasted for years in storylines, when he's talented, he could have had such dynamic storylines. Is it sort of sad to see this chapter sort of ending the way it is?
Do you want to say something, Luke? Because that sounds like that's your answer. For me, I mean, let's just be real brass tacks. Why are us wasting the next generation of the Newmans and the Abbotts? Robert Adamson is a talented young man. You know, Y&R has that Love Jones for primetime actors. He was a primetime actor, and they just dropped the ball with him. I felt as though Robert gave it his all and did his thing when Marissa and Noah were together, and Victor. And when you had Adam on the scene and Victor was manipulating things, and then you know, Noah found out firsthand how Victor is and cut Victor off when he was like, I'm done with you. And Victor was like, that was the only person that Victor was like really remorseful for. So I still wanted to see more of that played out. So when they had Noah, he's running the top of the towers, and then he's going to Newman, Mumbai, I'm like, huh? They could have done so much more with that. I really felt as though they should have had Noah still hold a grudge with Victor, but just keep it to himself and try to work to like oust him at Newman and stick it to him like how Victor stuck it to him. It's so many things they could have done with him, and you know, Y&R just screwed the pooch with that. So I hope some other show like Prime, whether it's Primetime or Daytime, I hope someone else, you know, takes a chance at this young man because he was a good actor.
Melissa Claire Egan is also leaving the show, and that her story sort of played out in parallel to Noah's, in that Phyllis is looking into her just a little. Mike, what did you think of Noah's storyline, and how do you think how things are playing out with Chelsea?
I echo Jillian when it comes to Robert Adamson. I'm sorry to see Noah go. Y&R does have an issue with its younger group of people, and the problem with them all is they're all related, so it makes it really difficult for them to find people to pair up with. Robert Adamson was decent as far as his skill goes, but he always did better when he had something to really sink his teeth into, and I think that I would have really liked to see Noah have learned something from Adam's playbook, because I think when Michael Muni was on, they had great chemistry together. There was just something about those two that seemed like he could have, you know, picked up a few tricks. But unfortunately, Noah's last romance was a complete bust. It just seems like it's a shame to see him go, but at this point, he hasn't been used enough to make it not that it will be horribly noticeable, if that makes sense. As far as Chelsea goes, I'm just scratching my head with this story. I know it's her exit story, but I still don't know what she's doing and why she's doing it.
Thank
who
you.
She's doing it for. I mean, I get that this wants that sometimes it's really nice to have a surprise, but sometimes it's good as a viewer to be in on something that the characters don't know.
Well,
and if
look
I don't
at
know
here,
what Chelsea,
look at here.
I just don't know what Chelsea's doing. I don't know why. Then it's kind of hard to care about it.
I did more than a little bit of head scratching this last week watching that story. To me, I'm like, the exit storylines for both Chelsea and Noah are less than inspiring. And it was like, do I really want to have to try and do algebra to watch a TV show? I'm not sure I do. Now, one thing, two plus two equaling four, I'm loving Jack and Victoria.
I mean, well, hold on before you go on to that. I mean, with Noah, you could just tell they didn't care about ushering him off. Well, they were just like, he going to Mumbai. Bye, y'all. And that's that. With Chelsea, on the other hand, they have a way they could usher her off. This whole doing knockoffs on her own stuff is stupid. They could have had Chelsea somehow find out that Nick knew that Victor teamed up with Chloe, and she gets all self-righteous in her indignation, and then somehow Nick found out that she knows that Christian is not his, and she disappears like that. They can have a, you know, or I don't know, she found out about Adam, and before she can get self-righteous, Victor's like, bitch, you know about Christian, so you need to pump your brakes. And for her to just be like, oh, and just disappear or something, this whole knocking herself, you know, making bootleg shit of her own stuff is stupid. But Jack and Victoria, I mean, that's a good look. Jack wants her back, and Victoria wants her out of her domain. But my thing with Jack is, instead of you being so greedy, you this is Jack's own doing. This is what I said last week. Jack is his own worst enemy. You pushed Ashley so far that she went back to you drove her back to your worst enemy. So you being a greedy pig, once again, him overexerting himself caused this to happen. If he would just stop, you know, standing in his own way, he could have his sister back and they can take Newman down. But this is another way that Jack is going to screw himself over. I'm like, oh no, Jack.
See, and that was for me when I was watching it, I was like, okay, I'm liking that Jack and Victoria are conspiring together to get Ashley out and to get Ashley away from Newman. But then I'm thinking to myself, Jack, you are once again overcomplicating this, and you are going to shoot yourself in the foot, because if you think that Ashley is angry with you now, wait till she finds out that you are actively sabotaging her at her new job to make it look like she's involved in corporate espionage. I'm like, Jack, if you would just go and grovel your ass off and actually put your ego aside for once and do what really needs to be done and actually mean it, you might be able to do it. But I guess that wouldn't be a soap storyline then. At the same time, I'm like, Jack, you're going to regret this.
Hold up. He did apologize to Ashley. And she said to him, you know, I believe that you're sorry, but she told the truth. She also said, I just don't trust you. I can't trust. Like, I don't trust you. So he did, but the damage was already done. So I just hope that with this storyline, somehow it does drive Ashley back to Jabot, but I hope Jack's actions makes her CEO again. Like, I hope like the board members are like, okay, you were dipping and dabbling in corporate espionage. We can't trust you doing that. And I really hope that Ashley becomes CEO.
Mike, for me, yes, Jack did apologize, but after all these years of torpedoing Ashley on various fronts, I feel like it's one of those things where he can't just apologize once. It's going to have to be something where he has to apologize more than once and then prove himself on top of it. But instead of going through the work and the effort to do that, he's now having to conspire to sabotage his sister. What did you think of that? What do you think of how that story is playing out?
Well, Ashley told him that she could never trust him again. So he's already, you know, stinging from that. And you're right, he doesn't want to do the work. I think it's really good that Victoria and Jack are teaming up, but I wouldn't put it past Ashley to be setting up Victoria this. I just have a feeling that Ashley knows what Victoria is up to. And it made me laugh that these two were doing this out in the open where everybody could see them just made me laugh. There were, you know, that just they were standing outside in the middle of winter in a public place exchanging documents and talking pretty much openly about it.
That's stupid because I'm like, they should have gone to Victoria's house or something. And if they were like, Jack, what are you doing there? I came to visit my niece's nephew. What you talking about? Boom.
Yeah. But I do think that Ashley will either, if she doesn't catch on right away, she does catch on, she'll just start feeding stuff to Jack that's going to ultimately be his undoing, which if anybody knows Jack, it's Ashley and how he operates. So it wouldn't surprise me at all in the end if she's the one that upends him.
What did you guys think of Lily and Kane tying the knot again?
They tied the knot again. Woohoo! I mean, yep.
Not a big deal.
I mean, it's cute. It's cute. It's cute. I think Valentine's Day was their original wedding day, so it's cute. And Lily's trying to bond with baby Sam. We need to talk about the true tea. Didn't that play out that Devon snitched on Hillary? Did that play out or did I read that? No,
I think he heard the whoops. The
spoiler
the
alert. Yeah, spoiler yeah, alert he... on Monday, depending on when Luke gets this up, child, it'll be next week or it'll be next year. But no, I'm just playing. I don't understand Hillary. He found the tape that Hillary made of what was her name? Juliet. And Hillary admitting that, well, she admitting to Hillary that Kane did not sexually harass her. And, you know, Kane was cool with Hillary, and Lily was starting to begrudgingly become cool with her. And Devon, with his snitching ass, goes back and tells them and just blows everything up. Poor thing. I'm like, Hillary can't get a break. But Devon, I'm like, Devon, you knew this is what you got into. Like, Devon's so obnoxious. Like, shut up, dude.
Well, let's talk a little bit about The Bold and the Beautiful. Steffi and Liam are having a girl. Mike, does this make you happy or do you care at all? Like, I do not care at all.
It's nice that, you know, that Liam showed up for this, but I think the overarching thing that's been bothersome for me is that everybody is going to Liam and trying to tell him that he has to do the right thing for this baby when it's 2018 and there are several million people that raise their children separately. I can only imagine that the good story out of this, which I don't think would happen, is that Liam goes back into that house and becomes resentful of Steffi, and he bonds with the baby, but not with her. But I don't know that it'll play out that way. But
no.
it was good to see, I guess, that he showed up for his kid. I don't really care that he showed up for Steffi.
Here's my thing. I feel as though with the whole, I get you with the 2018 thing, because I'm like, give me a break. At least Liam's not like that, you know, that ain't none of my child. Like, or, you know, it's just like, that child's dead to me too. Liam's doing the honorable thing. My problem with this thing is they're trying to force and browbeat Liam into forgiving Steffi. And they're using Liam's morals. They know that Liam has always wanted a family because that's one thing that he lacked growing up. I don't like that they're trying to use that against him. I would like for Liam to just finally snap. Not snap and go buck and batshit crazy. I would like for Liam to just snap and say to them, I don't have to forgive that slut for anything. She slept with my dad. Some bitch kissed me when we thought we were going to die. She kissed me. I had a slab of concrete on me. I couldn't fight her off me. She kissed me. What was her excuse for my dad? She got in her feelings and she nailed my father. I don't have to forgive her anything. It's on my terms, and I can forgive her when I want to forgive her, not on my time clock. And she needs to respect that. I wish Liam would just get a little buck with her and say, look, I will do what I want to do on my time clock. And if you keep pushing, you're not going to like what I do back. You know, I just wish Liam would just get a little buck with her. I don't want Liam to be like Bill, because some people are like, I wish he could get a little bit ruthless like Bill. No, I want Liam to just be firm in his decision and to tell Steffi, you know, you didn't like when, you know, you mentioned to me you didn't like how Brooke would use RJ to manipulate your dad. You're doing the same thing to me by manipulating me with this unborn child. Knock that shit off. I want Liam to call her out and to be firm and to stick to his guns. Mm-hmm.
I also think the missing link in all this is Bill. I mean,
he'll be back next week.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that. But I was like, this last couple weeks he's been missing. He hasn't been fawning over his tower. He hasn't been talking about his new building. He's very out of work mode. He's not even talking to Liam or Steffi.
That goes down next week. So all that's gonna happen. That's gonna play out next week. But I'm kind of cool. I'm kind of glad that they had Bill sidelined a little bit.
Well, it would have been okay because I think there's still that thing with Steffi and Bill that they really don't address very well. That there's this underlying tension between the two of them.
Well, they
and
did
I think
address
that Steffi
it.
Could be what drawn to him
watching?
With the. No, I just meant she could be more drawn to Bill because mm-hmm. Liam's not around and
well,
they could kind of play him.
No, they've addressed that. They've addressed that Bill is in love with Steffi. He has said so. He said to Wyatt, y'all had her, but I had her first. Like, I saw her first, and then y'all got with her, which is, I'm like, ooh, Lord. And Steffi finally said she's not attracted to Bill. She was like, yeah, we're alike, but I love Liam. She finally admitted that. They addressed all of that.
They addressed it. They just addressed it in a nice little bow, that's all.
No,
I just
they
would
didn't.
Have liked to seen it drawn out a little bit more.
No,
since
they didn't.
Everybody wanted them to get together anyway, and it was just...
No, everybody didn't. Okay. I'll speak for me. I wanted them to address their relationship in the past. And I feel as though they've done that because Bill has said, I loved her. I wanted to be with her. But because of Katie's medical issues, I put my feelings on hold and I put family first. And he's addressed that, and he's also told Steffi, I want to be with you. I will help you raise this child. Steffi is the one who was like, this was a colossal mistake, and I don't want your ass. I want your son. They've addressed it. It's not nicely wrapped in a bow. Nicely wrapped in a bow would have been one episode, but they played that out for like maybe a week or two. They played that out for several weeks.
Mike, what are you thinking of Jasper Jax?
Stop it. Stop it. Knock it off.
I'm having a hard time. I like Ingo. I don't have an issue with him. I'm just having a hard time adjusting to him as Thorne. I don't like this version of Thorne. I like the Thorne that I could root for when he was always butting heads with Ridge and sometimes Eric. But now Ridge is married and he's going after Katie and he knows about Wyatt. So I don't know like how bad Thorne is going to do anything with this, but I'm just not feeling that this character has any direction at all. He had intents to come back because he said he was a designer. I thought that maybe he would make some inroads at Forrester, but he just seems to only be chasing tail right now, so I don't really have – I mean, I don't like him.
Here's my thing. I mean, I don't mind Thorne chasing after Katie. I just wish they would address Katie saying to him, look, you only want me because you can't have my sister, and I'm not going to be your backup plan, kid. So thanks for coming, and God bless. They've made Thorne a little bland. He came back like, I'm going to kick ass. Like, I'm going to kick ass and take names later. Now, you know, when they were at the wedding or preparing for the wedding, he talks about his love life. Oh, it was so boring. Not boring, but when I tell people I'm a widower and my kid's dead, you know, it puts a damper on my relationship. I'm like, shit, yeah, what? But he's acting a little Eeyore-ish. I would like for that Thorne, when he came back and was all ready to whoop Ridge's ass and to take the Forrester, they need to bring that back again. They just have, to me, Brad snatched him up and he's just like, what do we do with him? Where do we put him? What do we do with him? Where do we put him? And it's kind of, he's just floating out there. If they play it right, I feel as though a triangle between Wyatt, Katie, and Thorne could be interesting. Already, they laid a little groundwork with him. I thought it was kind of cute that they had each other's phones and he saw Wyatt's text and deleted the text. The only thing is, I'm like, Katie, why didn't you ask him? How you know I'm messing with Wyatt? And that's where that text message would come up. But I digress, because I'm like, nobody said, I'm like, why didn't she say to him, how you know? That annoyed me a little bit. I would like for Thorne to use this to his advantage and to tell Wyatt, you know, you stay away from Katie, and Wyatt be like, or what? Or I tell your daddy, and we know you a punk when it comes to your daddy. And Wyatt, you know, for Wyatt to decide, this would be the culmination for Wyatt, for him to decide, do I grow a pair and tell Thorne fuck off and I'm going to tell my dad, or do I still try to keep my position at, you know, secure my position and to secure the bag, so to speak, over at Spencer. This could be interesting if they play it out well. I just don't, they need to pep Thorne up. They need to use that Thorne who came back, who wanted to overthrow Ridge's reign at Forrester. They need to use that, that Thorne. They need to pep him up some, and I'm hoping they will do that.
Mike, when you mentioned Liam wanting to be there for the child and have everything be all wholesome, it reminded me of this last week on Days of Our Lives when JJ proposed. And part of the reason for the proposal was the fact that the baby could, the parents could be married before the baby is born. And
well,
it sort of took me out of it for a second, but then I was like, wait, he is a Horton, so I suppose it's in character. But I was like, okay, I guess that it just feels a little bit antiquated sometimes to have that reasoning be like the one of the first things mentioned after you, the person that you're proposing to says yes as the reason why you're so happy about it. But it was a cute proposal. Okay, I liked it, and I like how the story's playing out.
Hold on. I have to say to you, bravo, sir. That was a good ass transition, what you did there. I thought that was good. That was good, Luke. I gotta give you your props right there. Look at you. It is antiquated when he was like, I want your baby to have my name. I'm like, ain't he gonna have your name? I want us all that. I'm like, your baby's gonna have your name anyways when you sign that birth certificate. I get whatever.
But that being said, we were right. At least we were right for one day. We will see what happens this next week. But it was revealed that Abby was in the black wig.
Tabby Joe. Told y'all it was Tabby Joe. I kept saying Rose, and I'm like, damn, your mother is Jennifer Rose. Your middle name is Joanna, so that's where the Joe comes from. I'm like, Tabby Joe, I see you, Ron. I see you.
What did you think, Mike, when it was revealed?
I love the cliffhanger, and we're going by the name Gabigail. That's the hashtag that is attached to next week's preview.
Okay, that's clever. I'll admit, that's clever.
Yeah, it is, but I'm still going by Tab and Joe.
Yeah, but I don't know if this is a DID story or if it's just Abigail having a breakdown story or if she's just trying to get rid of Gabby and send her back to prison. So
no, I don't think that's it because she's not in chat. What is the, why does she want her back in jail? You know what I mean? Like, because she has Chad and Abby got that nice tall drink of chocolate in her bed. I'm like, girl, please, you go ahead and keep Chad. Shit. Abby, I don't see her doing that. I think she may have broken. I think she may have cracked her wig. She may have split her wig in some sense. I mean,
she certainly didn't take it off in a fight scene like in Black Panther, which.
Okay. Whoa, stop. No. You talk in the movie. Don't do that.
If you want to hear the discussion about Black Panther, tune into this week's Geek Confidential.
Yeah. Don't do that. You went to Wakanda. They let you in Wakanda, colonizer.
It was excellent. But, Mike, we also saw the return of Billy. She saved John's ass after it was revealed that, of course, he did not shoot Paul and Will. But Patch also caught him trying to inject his IV. How do you think that John is doing this week? Because obviously he can't seem to save himself. His super spy skills are really going downhill.
Yeah, I was gonna say his spy skills are very rusty. Trip almost caught him putting the injection in, and then Steve, I think, was playing possum to see who was coming in and out of his room and caught John doing it. So I don't know. It's kind of intriguing to see how Billy fits into this at some point, but I just think that she must have been around to help John clean up this mess with Will and Paul, because now we still don't know where they are after a week. But
on the island, they're on the island. They're on the island.
The island with Bo, right?
They're not on.
And Grandma Horton. And Grandma Horton.
Not coming back. Stop it. I do like how Kayla just was not hiding the fact that she was not there for Billy in her man's hospital room. And she was like, Billy, what you doing in here? Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, like Billy, she's not here for that. And Patch is just like, look, I can't help it that she came in here. I'm sick. That was cool. Like Kayla is like,
Did you love Julie giving Gabby the business?
I did. I loved it. At the same time, it was so nice to see Doug give JJ the ring and have the conversation. And I was like, I tweeted, I was like, I'm so glad that Julie and Doug meddle in everybody's lives, because it was just enjoyable.
Wait until they find out about Lonnie.
Ooh. Oh, Lonnie. Julie is going to come down on her.
She think Gabby got the business. Julie is going to read that girl like a fucking book. I'm like, sis, I feel so. I'm like, girl.
Because it's from both sides. It's her grandson and it's JJ.
Yes.
Well, I gotta laugh because I think that Lamont Archie is doing the best facial expressions. When he saw JJ and Lonnie doing the proposal and Lonnie looked at him and accepted the proposal, he had what the fuck is wrong with you girl look on his face.
He's improved as an actor. He has improved as an actor.
Now, you know what I feel? I'm going to go here. I feel as though, look, even though it is the number one show in daytime, they like to tout. Sometimes they screw the pooch and they drop the ball with actors. They didn't really give him much to do on Y&R. And when you give him something to do, he is good. He's a good actor. It's the same thing with Rhetoric Williams. He is on BET's The Quad, and he is really good on that show. It's like sometimes they just... I don't know, man. I don't know what the hell. Them writers just don't be getting it together over at them sister shows. But his facial expressions, he is fun. He's cool. He's a cool cat. And he's also funny as hell on Twitter, too. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that Ron is giving him good material, too, because when he busted that girl and was like, I knew it. I knew that baby was mine. I'm like, I like it. The fallout, child. Big Mama Julie is going to, Julie is going to eat that girl's face. She gonna be like, look at here, Abe. You cool and all, but your daughter, your hoish daughter. This is going to be a mess.
Speaking of eating, Eric professed his love for Jennifer Zeclair this last week.
Words right out of my mouth.
He literally professed his love for Jennifer Zeclair. Mike, what'd you think?
He went for Jennifer's
eclair,
donut.
It's donut.
It's an eclair.
No, it's not. It's
there's
donut.
Filling inside.
Oh, no,
stop it. No, stop it. Stop. Uh-uh. No, okay. Stop. No. I hope someone.
Well, a Claire sounds better than her donut hole.
Nope, we're gonna go with donut because that's what the Hortons are known for. Y'all can read Luke Edwards.
Donuts have holes. No, donuts are Claire's.
No, you can read him at Luke_Kerr on Twitter. Go read that. Go read the breaks out of him. I like that Eric went and was like, I'm coming for my woman. I like that. And he realized that Anna's stupid meddling self messed up the whole thing. I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was cute. Eric was so cute. It was cute.
Mike, what'd you think?
I like them together. I know that some people don't, but I find that they do have some chemistry. There's no denying it. And since Nicole isn't around, I think there's some leftover Jennifer and Eric drama that still needs to be caught up on and played out. And I don't really mind it. Jennifer needs it's time for her to have, you know, a man in her life. And I do like that other doctor. So I don't want him to go away. I think that that he has some purpose, hopefully, in the hospital or out. But I it's fine. Eric and Jennifer are good backup for me as far as Eric's love life is concerned.
Yeah.
Jillian, last week you had some pretty strong words for what happened with Anna and Faison. We continue to see the fallout of Faison's death this week. What did you think of how that has progressed with Anna talking about her having a secret child? What did you think of the will being read and the revelation that in order to get what they want, either Jason or Drew will have to die? What do you think?
I think they should kill us all off because the only child I recognize Anna having, only living, breathing, walking, talking child that Anna has is Robin Saltini Scorpio Drake. I don't know this boy who she have. I don't know her. I don't know her, as Mariah would say. I don't acknowledge that kid because that kid is not, it's not real. It's not real. This was a shitty retcon, like I said. I don't need to go back and go there. If y'all missed it, go download the other podcast because it still makes me mad. It's still maddening that they would try to pull this shit. A rape baby, really? I was talking to it about Jamie, and Jamie was like, it could have been an egg baby. I'm like, something else but a rape. I'm like, a rape baby? You just got me. Stop. Luke done made me mad again, y'all. I was in a good place because I visited Wakanda. And then you just made me mad with the bullshit. Faison, and then Faison leaving Anna his money, that's not far-fetched because, as we all know, Faison was in love with Anna. I can't go back with that. The whole you have to kill each other in order to find out thing, I'm like, what the hell? Why don't they just play dead? There has to be a loophole where they're like, technically speaking, y'all are declared dead, so we can find out this information. I don't really care anymore, because Faison's starting to turn into like a Helena. It does all things, you know. I got a cold today. It was Faison. Ooh, you know, I got scurvies. It was Faison. See,
that was part of my problem with it. I like watching it. I was thinking to myself, this is the most contrived bullshit.
Yes.
That we are going to have Faison bring all of these people together for a will reading. I don't get it. I don't get why Faison, who was so lethal for so long. I mean, remember what he did with Lucky and Elizabeth and how remember when he was just lethal and he was someone you were actually scared of. And now he's going out as this impotent villain, and we're getting this
impotent rapist villain. I mean, that's one thing that annoys me with this storyline, because I can say without question, without a doubt, out of all the things that Faison was growing up, that was one thing you could have always say Faison never was, which was a rapist. Because if you go back and watch the videos, I wouldn't say that Faison was like a Spinelli when it came to Anna, but he almost was like when he would be in her presence, when he was he would actually be kind of like a little bumbling, not a bumbling idiot, but he would act like a jittery teenager with her. And then the coolness of his character would come on and he would try to romance her and try to, you know, they would play those little mind games that they had and so forth. A rapist, that's one thing that Faison would have never done. He even said it to her when she was with, when Robert was in town. He was like, why couldn't you love me the way that you love him? So this whole rape thing is really fucking ridiculous and disrespectful to the history, and I'm still not here for it. So I don't care if they integrate Heimlich Manoeuvre, Peter Paul Mary, whatever he calls himself, Pinky Sinclair, whatever that boy calls himself. I don't care how much they integrate him with the cast. He will never be Anna's child for me. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to co-sign it. He don't exist to me. And for Faison to be connected to everybody, it's just... they're just making Faison a tad bit...
It's contrived.
They're making Faison...
It's unnecessary.
It's ridiculous. They're making Faison cartoonish. And then you have the other cartoon on that damn canvas, Valentine, who's starting to be connected to everybody, too. I'm so annoyed. I'm just tired. I'm tired.
So I'm going to say something somewhat positive about General Hospital, something that I haven't been that positive about in the past. I am not a fan of Nell. People know that. But this last week...
Her sticking it to Carly is good shit.
Her sticking it to Carly is so much fun. And then to have Monica be like her semi-quasi-mentor and tell her... leave it to me. I enjoy sticking it to Carly. Okay. For me, that was when Nell was like,
okay,
this is fun. This is what I'm here for.
Now,
I'm not like, okay, they finally figured out a way for me to like Nell. Whereas unlike with Kiki, they've never given me something like that. But in this storyline, I'm liking it.
Leave Kiki alone. Fall back. You running out now with the Kiki thing. Now, I don't know if I'll go that far and say that I like Nell. I can semi-tolerate
her. I like
her
this storyline.
I can tolerate. You said you liked her. So that was different.
In this storyline.
No, you said you liked her. So own it. I do.
For one week.
This is what we've been saying that GH should have done, which was have Monica be the catalyst to this girl coming to town and all that jazz. They haven't done that, but at least they're having Monica be like, okay, bitch, I got you. We gonna take Carly's ass down. And I love it. I love that. Mel still can go. You know, if it was a mob shootout and she got it, I won't be sitting shiver for her. I'll tell you that now. But Monica teaming up with her to stick it to Carly, that's what I'm talking about.
And then meanwhile, Nell and Ava are like chatting, and Nell's like our mutual enemy, and I'm like, oh, so this good side of Ava is.
It's the enemy of my.
Well, no, but I know, but like Ava's attempt at being good, that Maura West was fantastic this last week. She's been trying so good to live her best life, and life is just not making it easy on her.
No, because Carly brings that out in you. Carly rubbing it in her face about that little girl.
I don't think there's any viewer that would. That we are, at least the ones that I'm in contact with most of the time that watch General Hospital, they don't like Nell, but they, like you, Luke, I think, will take pleasure in anyone that can stick it to Carly because she's such a horrible character.
Yes.
She's a fantastic character. She's just been written one-dimensional for the past 5 years.
She's very self-righteous, and I like the fact that they have Ava. Ava owns her shit. Ava owns, look, I have flaws, I'm good and bad, whatever. But Carly acts as though her shit don't stink. I like the fact that Ava is like, you know, I'm trying to live my best life with Oprah. But when that loud bitch comes my way, rubbing in my face that I can't see my baby girl, all bets are off. And I like that. The same thing with Monica. Monica is like, look, I'm trying to live in peace and harmony with this fool because... her and her mobster husband have raised my grandbaby, but now all bets are off. I'm sick and tired of her sticking her snout in business that don't concern her. Her and Sonny never get their comeuppance, so I'm glad.
And I love that Monica comes in and she's like, yes. And Carly's like, you haven't been to the house? And she goes, I had no need to visit the home of my son's killer, of AJ's killer. And I was like, oh. Monica all of a sudden is giving me Tracy Quartermain lines, and I'm there for it.
This is I'm glad that they have Monica like, look, bitch, I will be cordial to you, but I will not forget. And I really wish, I don't understand why Shelley has not addressed the fact that they had Ava, they had Jason address that Ava killed. Had a plot in Morgan's death, but they are playing like it never existed that Carly and Sonny, well, Sonny killed his brother and Carly knew about it. They need to address that. I need for Monica somehow for Jason to say something taken up for them and Monica just light into his ass and say something like, you are defending the people that killed your brother? And for her to just rip into his ass and for her to say a little something like, I'm glad that Sam is with Drew because that's some bullshit or something like that. Like for her to stick the knife into Jason a little bit, like, because Monica has blinders when it comes to Jason, but she needs to take them off us for a moment to like rip Jason for still being cool with them and dig that knife into his chest. When it comes to Sam and be like, you know, I'm glad that Sam is with a man that puts her and her needs first. And for Jason to just be like, oh shit, like word, like it needs to be addressed. I don't understand why GH is pretending like Sonny didn't kill AJ. And you know, I'm a ride or die Sonny fan, but they need that addressed. They need it addressed. And I'm hoping that somehow Mel sticking it to Carly, that plays a part into that.
The other thing that I want to mention about Nell is I enjoyed how they incorporated her into the introduction of Mike's Alzheimer's dementia storyline. I thought that that was sort of a nice twist. I'm not necessarily happy that we're revisiting Mike, but I did enjoy the scenes between Mike and Michael and Sonny. I did like that, but yeah. What did you think of that aspect?
I think Nell is filing that away as ammo to use against Carly and Sonny, which is, I'm pretty cool with that. If she can knock Carly's ass down a peg or two, I'm fine with that. If Mike has to be, you know, collateral damage, so be it. If not Mike is collateral damage, then so be it. Because, you know, I don't know him either. Y'all could bring this cat on, but you can't bring but y'all got rid of Jeannie Francis. Okay. Still salty about that too.
Mike, what did you think of General Hospital this last week?
Well, my favorite moment, like your favorite moment was probably with Monica, but my favorite moment was Maxie. She's on, we left it last week. She was about to throw some stuff on Lulu, and on Monday she got to do it in spades. And I'll tell you what, Kirsten Storms really brought it. She said all the things that I think a lot of people think about Lulu, and she just shredded her right in front of her husband, right in front of Nina and Valentine, and she let that girl have it.
She gave her the business. She
really did, and I just thought it was so, so good. And I'm looking forward to
a
rivalry between these two.
And this is why we love Kirsten Storms as Maxie, because you was shading. You didn't get it.
I did. I never got to see the good, fun Maxie.
I mean, she's there.
The character.
Good, fun Maxie is there, but bitch Maxie will get you told. And she put on that bitch Maxie mode and was like, I loved it when Lulu was all, you know, at one point it felt like Lulu was trying to apologize, but it also felt like Lulu was trying to like
justify
it for her, you know, her budding career. And when Maxie just chewed her and chin checked her, I was like, bitch gone. Like she, ooh, Lord, I wanted someone to like pass the collection plate because she took it to church with that girl. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it.
Any other final thoughts on this week in soaps as we wrap things up, Mike?
No, this week was fairly decent. There was some good intriguing things that are going to play out, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. Especially, you know, the Gabigail, that's just going to be a, I mean, it's Ron. It's classic Ron. So.
Oh, he's going to write the shit out of that girl. That girl is going to be, she is going to be like, watch out, Deidre Hall. I'm running this mug now. She going to be, he going to write the hell out of that girl. My final thought is two things. Number one, I love the fact that Nikki was like, when Victor was like, oh, I have somewhere to go. She was like, yeah, I got somewhere to go to on Valentine's Day. Do you need my car? No, I'm good. Nikki going to get that young thing. I'm like, get it, girl. Get it. That's gold. That's totally gold. And number two, you know, did we talk about Pearson Foday coming back?
No. We did not.
Okay, well, Pearson Foday is coming back, kids. And Courtney Hope is out over at The Bold and the Beautiful. I mean, you could have seen that coming the moment they had new hope come. I'm like, you about to be gone, girl. So I think we can put two and two together to figure out what's happening with that. And you see how Daytime is doing it? Like, look at the Daytime alums. Michael B. Jordan is owning the box office, y'all. That was Reggie Montgomery. And then somebody told me, I did not know this.
I didn't realize it either.
Hold up. Chadwick Boseman used to play Reggie on All My Children, too. They said it was just for like a few weeks. And then they brought Michael B. Jordan on. They desourced him. I'm like, look at Daytime alums. I'm like, I'm
pretty. Well, and then Angela Bassett, of course, was on Ryan's Hope.
Yeah. Well, oh, my God. The goddess that is Angela Bassett.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
She is gold. Oh my God.
As I said on the Geek Confidential podcast, I am here for any older diva in a big headpiece, and she certainly had that in Black Panther, so I was there for it.
That's not the gold. I mean, in general, like.
Well, no, I know. Like, she was fantastic. She was fantastic in Black Panther, but we were just talking about costumes and things, and it was an interesting discussion. But I believe it was Mo who brought. It was either Mo or Dan who brought that up about Chadwick Boseman, and I was like, I did not realize that, because I had watched Michael B. Jordan on The Wire before he came to All My Children. So whenever I think about him being Reggie, because he was there for so long, I never think about the first one.
I thought he was on All My Children, then The Wire. I believe he was on The Wire first.
Maybe I'm wrong. It's entirely possible. Either way, when I Googled Chadwick Boseman and looked him up on IMDb, it was like Reggie number one. And I was like, well, damn.
That's Daytime for you, baby. I'm like, I'm pretty sure Chadwick is in like, I'm so mad that y'all fired me. I'm like, Chad, please. Oh my God. But no, I mean, Angela Bassett is goals, because I think she's almost 60 and look at her.
Yeah, he was on The Wire in 2002, and he didn't start General Hospital, I believe, until 2003.
Do you mean?
All My Children.
There you go.
So, if you want to see a little bit of a Daytime in Wakanda, go watch Black Panther. You won't regret it. Trust me. And listen to the Geek Confidential podcast this last week where we discuss it. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Mike is at MPJ24 and Jillian is at Jillian Poe. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Adios. Bye.